Do you know, just sing a little, like, you know, commercial jingle.
Yay, I am so bad at this, and to think I was going to do media. Yay.
That's not a jingle.
Okay, what's a jingle? Give me a jingle.
Like a jingle, like the warehouse where everybody is a bargain. Like something. Like...
I don't watch TV.
Well, okay, I get it. Hold on, millennial. I don't believe that.
Sorry, I just watch Netflix. Okay, how about like, ooh. You sure got a friend in the breeze. Does that work? Is that a jingle?
That's the radio one, right?
Yeah. I listen to the radio. Okay, I don't know if I should put both my earphones in my ears. Because what if one of my ears starts itching?
Oh, gosh. just go for it. And then if it happens, you know, it can either be edited out or I'll highlight it. Like, I'll put it at the very start of the podcast. Which might be inappropriate because this episode is going to be quite serious. It's going to be quite serious.
Oh, no, the pressure's on.
I know.
Okay, God, don't let my ear itch. Yeah. It's weird to put both your earphones on as well.
Same place. Pray for us.
Mm-hmm. Pray for us indeed.
Pray for Rochelle's ears. Just one of those moments.
One of those moments.
I don't know where to start with this because I'm going to be quite honest with you. And it's like, frankly, this whole thing has been a bit of like a Twilight Zone moment. For, I think, two reasons. One, I don't think I've ever really experienced racism personally. Now, that may just be my naivete talking, but I don't think I've had to directly experience it face front. Number two, maybe it's geographically we're too far away, and I feel that I'm too far away to actually do anything. It's not like I have the same clout that you do, you know, like say on Instagram or on social media. And so I feel like I'm really in another world. So this is just me personally speaking. So that's why trying to think about this and think about what I could do, you know, other than like educate myself offline, I've really struggled with trying to come up with that. Like, yeah, it's been a real struggle, like an internal struggle.
Interesting stuff, I think, that you said. I think I have been thinking about this a lot more like the past week rather than, you know, whatever, 10 days ago when it actually started happening, especially after, I think, more worldwide protests started. Mm-hmm. And then I think I've been reading a lot more, like, blogs and things like that just to gain a perspective or to try and understand what the situation is more.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right. I think we are blessed in New Zealand that it's not so prevalent, racism, because just we're so multicultural. I don't think it's directly affecting. Like, I've never really faced a racist situation or someone, you know, just being really racist to me. Yeah, like, I think, you know, if people are being racist to me, it's more like as banter, as a joke, rather than actual serious racist comments. I think I was just listening to Father Josh Johnson and Mike Schmitz talking about the whole topic. And it was interesting what they said about it. They were saying how we all created to respond to a time like this. And that was like the first 5 minutes of the video. And I was like, whoa. So I guess, you know, even though we are far away, what is our response to it? And maybe in some ways our response is to actually initiate the conversation. Because maybe people don't talk about it enough. And when they do have like someone make a racist comment about them, I think it's easier to just bury it down and not talk about it. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think when you can't really do anything physically, and you're bound by mm-hmm. your geographical location.
Yeah.
Communication and talking will be your next step. And having discussions about these things, I think, is our best way going forward.
Yeah.
You know, I think applying it to our, to my context, for example, like the place that I work at, like, I can't remember a moment where we've talked about the fact that it's a Noel Pākehā parish, or for the most part. I mean, you have like a pool of Asians. So that consists of like Koreans, Indonesians, and Filipinos. And you have a pool of, and Indians. And then you have a pool of, I think Arabs.
Yep.
You're like a really small number of our parishioners. But for the most part, it's still a very white parish. And I really can't recall the last time we've kind of stated the fact that we don't have any Pacifica or like Polynesian brothers and sisters that attend our mass services or like are part of our parish whānau. I don't know, maybe just because Takapuna is such like a white place, like a Pākehā population. But like, yeah, I think like talking about it definitely is the first step, like you acknowledging things like that, no matter how big or small they are. And then having discussions about what people think, like, what are your opinions? What is it that you know? What is it that I don't know? And then through those discussions, pinpointing the things that we are unsure about, that we are kind of like lacking in knowledge of, and then learning about those things. Because also in discussions, you can learn about a lot of things. Like, for example, you know, in talking with Sharky about this, because I know he's very passionate about this movement right now, and I had to really be careful with what I was saying. Like, I needed to put it across in like a non-confrontational way. And in saying that, he's so understanding. But basically, I was explaining to him how I understand the anger that's coming out right now, like all this pent-up anger and all this wanting for justice, which is valid and fair, and there should be justice. We cannot have peace until like justice has been served and things have been resolved. But at the same time, I've really been struggling with understanding why violence has to come into it. Why violence is at the forefront of it. Maybe that's just what I've seen in media in the United States. And, you know, also doing further reading on it, some people say that, oh, like the violence has been towards, or like the looting and all the destruction has been towards big companies, big firms that have allowed this systematic racism to go on. But then you look at like the local businesses and the small family-owned stores and all that, and then all the destruction happening out in public, and I think to myself, yeah, I think there's violence all around going right now, and I can't wrap my mind around that. I can't kind of like accept it. I hope that's not too insensitive.
No, I do agree with you on that. Yeah, I think I've been struggling to really understand why people are being so violent about all of this. I guess it's the frustration of, you know, years long of not dealing with this or just pushing it under the rug. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't get the destruction and everything that comes with it. And that's probably because I'm not, you know, we are separated by, well, the big ocean. So maybe that's why, like, I don't get the full context and the gravity of the situation. So I do agree with you on that. Yeah, I'm trying to fathom just the entirety of everything that's going on right now, which is quite heartbreaking to watch.
It is. It's so heartbreaking because you can almost empathize with the families. Like, I've never gone through something like that, losing someone in such a horrific way and then not seeing justice on top of it. Like, that is crushing. And so I empathize on that side. I empathize on the pent up anger and all the wanting to see some kind of result come out of it, because obviously all this movement that's happening, all the protesting, is to get the attention of the lawmakers, of the ones to put those alleged cops in trial, you know? Well, not alleged, actually, you know, I mean, it's kind of like obvious their intent was to kind of kill, from what the video was shown for George. And I struggle though, because I'm like, the violence that comes with it, does that justify then? It's like this. It's like, I'm not a big believer of an eye for an eye. Let's just say that, to make it simple.
Yep.
But yeah, that's all my thoughts on that. And I don't want to keep rambling, because I'm probably going to end up saying something really stupid and going to cause some of my friends to be a little confused. Also, in saying that, I think it's good to, in like discussions like these, it's good to admit that you're either unsure or you don't know or you're confused, because we can't just go around pretending like, oh, I'm part of this movement now and I know everything and I'm going to be the leading authority on this because I have read a few articles. Like, it's going to take years. It's going to take a long time to make yourself up to date with what's happening. Also, for the fact that we don't live in the United States. So I don't know about you, but my history of like the American civilization, whatever happened, everything up from Civil War and whatnot, like, it's little to none.
Yep. No, it's, I don't think we even learned much about it in school.
No, it's going to take a long time to be up to date. Whereas people there who are protesting, like, they've lived through it generations after generations. So, yeah, that's all I want to say.
No, fair enough. I think it's conversation. It's having these discussions and being open to having these discussions rather than not, and trying to understand what the perspective is. Because only once you understand what the whole perspective is, then I guess you can take almost that next step, whether that means, you know, trying to, I don't know what the next step is. You can just cut this bit out.
You're right. I think you're on the right track. Like, the next step is kind of like, it depends, obviously. Like, it's a case by case. The next step for you is going to be the next step. It's going to be different from my next step.
Yep.
So,
absolutely.
You know, for example, me seeing everything that's been happening online and everyone using the hashtag and everyone posting and everything, I haven't done any of that at all. And that was a personal choice. Now, some people may disagree with me, maybe a little bit frustrated with things like that, with people like me, but it was a personal, intentional choice that I took, because I thought, hey, I'm not educated enough to put my opinion out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not gonna pick on certain people, but for me, seeing people out there putting their own opinion online in such an angry and aggressive way, that's their way. I don't see myself doing that, and I really don't want to do that. For me, I wanted to take the time out, read through things, talk to friends offline, gather my thoughts, and then in my own way, kind of share what I think out there. And then in that way, like, participating in the movement. And then also things like this, like having the podcast and to finally talk about it here, because, you know, what a perfect timing that I just kicked this whole thing off. And now we get to talk about it and share our thoughts with maybe someone out there who's still confused about what's happening.
Still unsure, like us.
Exactly.
About everything, yeah.
And they might be wondering, hey, what can I do? Or maybe they might be even frustrated, because I don't know about you, but I have felt that way the last few days. Like after intentionally choosing to not post anything online, and then having those moments, I'm like, oh my gosh, I finally missed it. Like I finally done it. I'm an idiot. Like I should have done something, like almost regretting it. You know what I mean? But I don't think that's, it's not the end. Like you can certainly do more things now. You know, it's a continuous movement.
Yeah, and these conversations should be continuing on as well. You know, continue talking about it, continue learning people's perspective, continue listening to people, because that's a big thing. And then, you know, acting and praying about the situation. And maybe sometimes all we can do is just pray for peace in our world today, because we so need it.
I want to share a little bit of the resources that have helped me understand the whole picture, the bigger picture, and also educating myself in what's happening. So for those who want to be up to date with the Black Lives Movement, or the Black Lives Matter movement in the United States, there's a website, blacklivesmatter.com. It's got everything from their programs, the global actions, if you want to make a donation, everything is on there. I'm also going to put up a couple links on the episode description that consists of books and articles, some podcast shows, some movies that are on Netflix right now. So for example, there's When They See Us by Ava DuVernay. It's a really awesome film. There's Selma, which she also directed. And there's a couple shows that you can definitely check out just to get a perspective on how it's like and what's happening and why there is anger. There's also going to be some links to some organizations, both on social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram, and their websites and email lists and all that. So I'm going to include that on the episode description for those who want to check it out. Anything from your end, Roche Shay?
I think for my end is just trying to understand what the Catholic response to this is. And yeah, what do I post on the ACYM Facebook page in response to all of this? So I've been going through, obviously, LifeDean, obviously, right?
They've got great resources on this right now.
They do. And they just released like another blog that has a number of resources that you said, like movies and pop culture resources and things like that. So, which was pretty interesting. So I haven't gone through all of them, but yep, that's a link. And I've definitely the talk between Father Josh and Father Mike Schmitz talking about this topic. Really good.
It sounds really interesting. If you could send me that link and I'll put all those as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's that. Do you have any final thoughts on this you want to share before we move on?
Continue praying for all of this. Continue praying, continue talking about this. Yeah. Continue discussing it.
Yeah. For me, I think it doesn't just go back to normal. Like definitely we pray about it, we talk about it, and we also keep up to date with what's happening so that we are aware of all the details that are going on. And if it gets overwhelming, it's all right. For anyone listening out there who might feel like this is bringing a lot of anxiety, please remind yourself that mental health comes first. Mm-hmm. You can't be part of the discussion if you yourself are hurting. So take all the time you need to gather your thoughts, to recuperate. Don't feel the pressure to just put things out there for the sake of being part of the conversation. Like, it's all right. And know that you can make a bigger contribution to this if you're first and foremost all right internally, if you're coping well and in a capacity to gather in all of this information, because it's really overwhelming. It's a lot. Yep.
It is. It's okay to not be okay. Talk to someone.
Just don't talk to us, because Right.
In fact, someone did talk to me yesterday about just all everything that's going on. They were just so overwhelmed by everything. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'm dreading kind of like going back to youth, and then hopefully nobody asks me, but somebody comes up to me and asks me either about the pandemic or the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm just gonna be a bit like, can I just refer you to some other links?
But I think that's the beauty, right? I think people just want to talk and process what they are feeling. So I think, you know, you're here. Yeah, you've been put here to respond to something like this, and maybe the response is being unsure and having that discussion with someone, just like what we did.
Definitely. I like that. And I promise now you can hold me accountable, because this is going to be recorded. I do want to, you know, do my further research and educate myself more, just so I'm able to have those conversations face to face, while being well equipped enough to refer people, like I said, refer people to certain links, but also ask the right questions and entice the right conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's holding that. You accountable to that.
Oh no. Okay. This whole episode is just jam-packed full of reality slapping us in the face. That's what it is.
I know, right? Yep.
That's what it is. And also in saying that, yeah, just a couple things before moving on. So I've learned from the past 2 weeks since, you know, this whole thing has kicked off. Has it been 2 weeks? Yes, it has. I'm just talking to myself now. I've learned not to do intros for my podcast.
True. Okay. Oh, what sparked that?
Okay, let me explain why. So I was listening back to all of them, right? And yeah. I've realized that at the introduction segments of each episode, I can tell that I'm really, really awkward. So I'm just burping now. Like, I'm really uncomfortable with it. So I'm either giggling or just flat out handing it over to the guest co-host. So I was just like, oh, you do this, like, introduce yourself. And like with Father Anthony, I mean, that whole segment that we recorded, that was just so funny, because we were talking about growing indoor plants and him explaining to me that he constantly kills his indoor plants.
No.
Just because he's so he's just so forgetful. So that sparked it, and I've decided I'm not going to do introduction segments anymore unless I've got like a really important person on the show with me. You're important. Okay, I shouldn't say that. You are important. Gosh, I'm digging a hole.
I know what you meant.
Okay, for those listening, Rochelle is my permanent co-host, so she's not special. Don't worry.
I like how you're like digging yourself out of that hole that you just put yourself into now.
I might as well embrace the whole thing.
Yeah.
No, so yeah, so that's one. And then another thing that I've kind of gotten from the episode so far is that I really do want it to be fun, to be quirky, to be energetic. So not taking itself too seriously.
Yep.
Meaning that even if I have people who are really serious on the podcast, I kind of want to bring out the fun out of them, you know, like, and highlight that. Because, again, this whole thing is for youth ministers, like in our local diocese, in Aotearoa, for all my friends who are in youth ministry. I just want it to be fun. I want it to be sharing about stories and all that. In saying that, there will be times like these where it's a bit more serious and a little bit more of real talk.
Yep. And
yes, I'm not the most well-equipped person to do all those, or the most analytical person to present the facts, but I really do want to try my best to shed some light on things, to put my opinion out there, and also learn. That's really important for me right now. I really want to listen and learn. You know, even though everyone mistakes me to be a 35-year-old, boring church worker.
Oh.
Shout out to all my teens.
Okay, who said that?
Yeah. It's okay. I'll send you who they are. And then
I'd show them.
You'll show them? What do you mean?
Yeah. Unless they're like really tall people, because I get intimidated by really tall people.
I feel like I'm really tall.
Okay, they're all really tall. Okay. Sorry, too bad.
Anyways, that's too real. So I want to listen and learn for the most part. Yeah. So, which is a great way to segue to one of the things that I really want to learn about from one of the masters of this certain thing.
I don't know what's coming next. I'm just laughing.
You don't know what's coming your way, but we're going to start off.
Maybe I'm just living in denial.
You are. You're living in denial, and it's not going to work because it's inevitable, and we're getting into it now. So, self-care.
Yep.
I'm going to go through the things that I myself, okay, participate in to exercise self-care, okay? So, I can't talk English. During lockdown, I've gotten into baking. Now, in the past, you know, I have baked like some cakes and cupcakes and whatever. And like, I know a couple of recipes. So I think I'm all right with baking, but I really did try the more serious stuff during lockdown. So baking bread. So I attempted some pandesal, which is like Filipino bread rolls. And they've turned out really well that I actually make them every week. Like I make a whole batch for the family.
What day do you make them?
Oh,
just so I know next time when to drop by your place.
Sporadically. I made some last night.
Wow.
Unplanned.
Okay. Okay. I'll have to ask Janine then.
That's okay. I'll make a batch specifically for you guys and I'll bring it over one of these days.
Oh, you're too kind.
Yeah, so baking bread has been a very therapeutic thing for me. It's very relaxing. I like it. I like it even more when I'm alone in the kitchen and I just get to do it as slow as I can. There's also planting. So I don't know if you could recall that I had a cactus this Saturday.
Yeah.
I've been so stoked about the progress that it's made. It's still alive.
I don't
have to water it as much because it's winter season now. And apparently it becomes dormant. And so it just lives on its own. But a couple weeks ago, I did buy two more cactus.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We're going to have the...
I think it's cacti, isn't it?
Oh, gosh.
We apologize for this.
I'm so sorry. See, okay, if you're one of my friends or one of those, like, grammar police people, just don't come at me, please. I beg you. Come to the show and correct me, but don't DM me and roast me. I love you, whoever you are. So now I have... Three cacti. Oh, God. I have three of them in a pot.
Yep.
So I bought two more and I transferred all three of them into one medium-sized pot that now sits on my desk. And it looks so cool and pretty and awesome because it adds some greenery to my room. I've also gotten some cilantro, coriander,
ooh,
on a small pot that now lives in my windowsill. I hope it doesn't die. It's only the start of its life. I think it's hard. It still looks green. I love how that's how I determined that my plants are still alive, eh? That they're green.
It's green. It's all right.
Yeah. And I also bought a terrarium base, terrarium like case thing that I am planning to kind of put together this upcoming week. So I bought some activated charcoal and all the things that come with it. And I'm going to be putting some like really small plants, maybe a succulent or something inside it. And then I'll take a picture and I'll show it to you, okay? Just so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Baking and planting are the two things that I've picked up recently that I think are going to help me going forward now that we're going back to the normal way of things. You know, having like a really tight packed schedule, I think it's good for me to have a thing that I can turn to when I'm stressed or when I'm really overworked, and just to bring myself down again. And they're really simple things. So yeah, I wanted to share some of the things that I do, but now we're going to turn our attention to one of the people that I really look up to who practices self-care really well. All her friends would tell you that. Miss Rochelle Diaz. Take it away.
Wow. Thank you for that. Yeah, I do practice self-care really well, as Randall said, and as all my friends say. Yeah. I guess one thing I definitely love doing to practice self-care is going for a walk on the beach, which is unfortunate when the weather's really bad, because then you can't go for a walk on the beach.
Excuse me. Still do it.
Sorry, English. I let you down. I was actually thinking of doing that the other day. I was like, what would it feel like if I just walked on the beach with my rain jacket? Would I just look like that depressed person? Okay, actually, cancel this. Remove this off.
Do you have, what color is your raincoat?
Black, I think.
Because you can grab a yellow one and have a little bit of fun along the way. And be like...
I do have a yellow jacket, though. But I feel like I'd look like that kid from...
It.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Like, you can be little George.
Maybe I should that. Yo. Just roam with like a red balloon and creep people out.
And I'll dress up as Pennywise. There we go.
Yo, okay. Okay, that sounds good.
Dynamic duo. Okay. Okay, so what else? What else do you do for self-care?
Well, I can't bake. I kill plants. So that's out of the window. Just relaxing and watching TV as well is my way of self-care, but not something that's intense. So I can't watch TV shows or movies that make me think. So like Inception is just a no-no at that point.
No.
So I have to watch something like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine or The Office, or just something that's...
Yeah, you could turn your brain off. Like that's how I felt when I watched Interstellar the other day, and I'm like, this is a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I think I'd get more worried just thinking about the movie and just getting, because I really get into movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get you. Okay. So apart from walks and, is it binge watching or are you just casual watching?
It depends. I think if it's more relaxed TV shows, then it's more casual watching than binge watching. I think I binge watch when I watch intense cliffhanger TV shows.
Okay, so let's say casual. So those are the two things on your list. Okay, what do you have anything that you would maybe want to take up that you've kind of given a thought of and you're aiming to do as like a self-care method?
I did think at one point was getting back into playing the keyboard, because I used to do music. Well, I used to play music maybe 10 years ago now. I haven't touched a keyboard for 10 years. So maybe I did think about that, but then I don't have a keyboard. Well, we do have a piano in the house, so.
Oh my gosh, you and your excuses. I just thought of that. I suddenly was like, wait, they have a piano in their lounge. Why is she...
But then people can hear me. They'd be like, oh my gosh, what is she even doing? Does she even know how to play?
Okay, I get you. But also because you're living with people who are musicians.
The pressure's on and it's been 10 years. So, you know, I'm just like, maybe not.
Yeah, and knowing Dan, he'll be like, he'll be sassy about it. He'll be like,
Yeah, he will be sassy about it.
Right chord, you know.
Yeah. But on saying that, I think like work, we have a keyboard at work, which I could like secretly go and, you know, play on to de-stress and things like that. And I have spoken to the team about it, and they were like, yeah, sure, do it. So yeah, maybe that.
So supportive. Do that.
Yeah. They're adorable. Yeah.
Okay. Self-care. Why did I choose to talk about it? Okay. Here's the thing, y'all. Sleep deprivation. Okay. Slack prayer time.
Mm-hmm.
Overworking. Burning out. All these things. If you're experiencing it, it's time for some self-care. Okay. And I'm going to put it out there. For all my friends who know me, everyone knows that I am overworked. That is 100% a fact. I understand. I know that. I'm constantly barraged about it, but it's an intentional choice. And yeah. Okay. So part of this, I kind of want to explain, you know, how self-care can go hand in hand with such a workaholic lifestyle. And then also talk about the things that may affect you if you don't have self-care in your life. Okay. So being a workaholic, Rochelle, you're one of them. Okay. You have infamously worked for more than 16 hours at one point. And when you told me that,
I should not have told you that. Or yeah, you did that.
I remember you telling me that, and I was like, is this a joke? Like, do you want me to call Joey or someone? Because it's not funny. But you're infamous for working all the time and even taking home with you the workload that is supposed to live at your workplace. I say that because I also do the same thing. I steal those things into my bag and then do the work at home.
Yep.
I don't know if that's just because we work in a church setting. Do you think all church workers are like that?
Who take their work home with them? Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe church workers are also like that, because I feel like some part of them is the whole, oh, you know, I'm going to, that whole need to serve. Like, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, because
then, yeah, go for it.
Here's the thing. I don't really give myself strict time frames to do certain stuff. So I have my office hours when I would go to work. But if I think I can do a little bit at home, I'll take it home with me and then do it kind of like in certain gaps throughout my day, or throughout the night, I should say. And I've just gotten the impression that it's kind of like a norm for church workers. Like, you'll have your work kind of like available to you at any point. Because one, it's like a pastoral ministry that involves other people. And so you can't really schedule for the most part, like when somebody
might... A ministry of interruptions, as they call it.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking of. It's like you kind of have to be available if someone needed you.
Yeah.
Or I know for me, like a funeral, or if one of my musicians need to talk to me. Like, I can't say, oh, sorry, like, you can talk to me between the hours of 9 to 5. Other than that, you're on your own. Sorry. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then it's the same for youth ministry. Like, if a teen kind of like messages you on the youth account, like, you can't just be like, sorry, I'll see you only on Fridays fortnightly. Other than that, you're not part of my life. Like,
yeah.
And it's kind of like negatives that come with it, because then like you make yourself available 24/7. So then when do you kind of have your own life, right? That's the argument. What do you think?
It's interesting because both of us are on like the same level. I think I'm worse at self-care than you, I think. Anyway. But yeah, you know, I feel like in ministry you plan, okay, this is what I'm going to try and do today. But then because, quote unquote, ministry of interruptions, you kind of get interrupted and then your work gets delayed. And then for me, I'm more like, I'd rather just go home and finish my work than worry about it in the middle of the night that I've not done it and worry about doing it tomorrow. And hence, that's why I tend to sometimes overwork. But then it's the whole conversation of how, you know, because it's so pastoral, how do you not have those conversations with your friends or your young people that are struggling, you know, and they message you? You got to respond to them. You can't just be like, okay, respond to me between 9 and 5. And that's when I'm available to talk to you.
Yeah. And even during those 9 to 5s, like what you said about interruptions, you know, everyone has a job description, like the things that, and the tasks they have to do. But you can't help it if your fellow parish staff worker asks you for help. Like, I know if, say, our parish secretary has asked me to help with the newsletters, or there are days when I take phone calls. Like, those aren't my tasks. But if they needed the help, like, what can you do? Like, you can't say no, right?
Yeah,
because it's that type of communal office space that kind of like you kind of have each other's backs. Now, if in saying that, if it goes over the line where you're, where, say, if I started answering the phone calls like all the time and I actually sat on her desk, like obviously that's crossing it. But for the most part, like you kind of just get interrupted throughout the day because of certain small things like that, and then you end the day and you're like, oh my gosh, like I haven't completed everything I needed to do. So you like take it home with you just so you don't get pushed back the next day or the next time you're in office. Yeah. Is that
how? And I guess that's the, yeah. And that's the thing with pastoral ministry, right? You can't outrightly say, no, this is not my job description. You know, you're there to serve and you're there to help each other out. You're there to look out for each other as well.
Yeah. So it's a struggle, but I think we're kind of coping, right? We're coping.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what, I've been in ministry 6 years in a professional capacity now, and yeah, we're coping.
Take it from the
losing hair, but we're coping.
Speak for yourself. I now have purple hair. Okay.
Wait, did you change your hair color?
I dyed it last night. One of those impulsive things that we were talking about that you shouldn't do. But
oh my gosh. Yeah, you know, I secretly want to dye my hair, but yeah.
We're going to talk about that. I'm going to see tonight at the party. I was planning to just pick up Janine, and then I was like, oh, I'll go to Countdown, get some baking paper because I was making some bread. And I was like, oh, I need a new toothbrush. So I bought a new toothbrush. And I was like, you know what? Stuff it. I saw the purple hair dye. I grabbed it, got home, had dinner, dyed my hair, and the rest is history. So that's that. But okay, so back to self-care. So the other part of this thing that I want to talk about was, what if you didn't have self-care in your life? What would happen? Well, here are some of the things that I kind of pointed out to start. Sleep deprivation. Okay, people, if you don't want insomnia, you kind of have to take care of your body, okay? It's just the deal that you made with God when you were given this body. It's a temple. You got to take care of it. And sleep deprivation is not fun when you want to operate like a proper human being. Okay? Any thoughts on that, Rochelle?
Yep, as you said, this is your temple that God has given you. You got to eat right, or try to eat right. So no late night Macca's runs after work, which I'm so guilty of. I haven't been doing that during lockdown because none of it was open, but that's beside the point.
Who was your partner in crime in that?
Partner in crime in going, like, to Macca's?
Was it Rianne or who was it?
To be fair, actually, I don't think it was any of them, because I used to work late and then I couldn't be bothered to come home and cook. So I used to just go to Macca's by myself, which was not good. So don't go. Yeah.
Yeah. Meal planning, guys. That's part of self.
Yeah. Meal planning. Look after yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then there's also burning out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't know if you're burning out yet, I suggest you go and talk to one of your closest friends and ask them, hey, what do you think about my schedule? And you you show them what you do on a day-to-day basis, and I kid you not, they will point out if you are burning out. Like, just from looking at that alone. Obviously, like, they'll be able to tell as well if you have 5 rings of dark circles under your eyes, and you know, and then like whenever they're talking to you, you're kind of just looking into the distance, into nothingness. Yeah, all these things that come with it. And I think lack of motivation is part of it as well. Not having energy. Slack prayer time, y'all. Okay. Setting aside time to do certain self-care things will enable you to have either, whether that be silence or like an allocated prayer time. So for example, now I plan to, whenever I'm doing my plans, right, I kind of want to offer that up to God. Like, that is my time that I intentionally take away from all the workload that I'm supposed to be doing. And having this like little planting time, kind of just like offering it up to him and being like, teach me patience, teach me to love silence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I don't know if that is, you know, is working, but I'm hoping that that's what it comes to, that I have kind of like a scheduled time to do some planting and then have that time as well as like offering it up to God. How about you, Rochelle? What do you think?
About Slack prayer time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when I'm actually out walking, that's my prayer time. So I do agree with you when you say, you know, when you're planting or playing with your plants, that's when you...
I'm just like patting them. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like telling them, reassuring them that life is all right. I'll take care of you.
Yeah, so that, you know, using that time to offer it up to God. Because I think, you know, that's when you take your time out. You actually focus not on yourself, but you just take time out from the busyness. You take, yeah. And that's actually a really good opportunity to just invite God into that space and invite God into your thoughts at that moment. Yeah. In fact, you know, we're called to invite God into every moment of our lives, but mm-hmm. intentionally inviting God when we are not busy is beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And I see also as, you know, our workload is something that we do kind of like for our, okay, I shouldn't say that, but kind of like for ourselves, like, you know what I mean? Like, we want to tick the boxes. We want to get things done. Whereas like you intentionally take time away from that, and it's a sacrifice that you take. And then you offer that certain time of your day for God. You kind of like, you know, use this to teach me how to, again, be patient, how to take care of myself, and then also learn to listen to you. Because I find it hard to do whenever I'm overworking myself, that's for sure. I'm kind of just trying
to do
things. I want to go back to what you said earlier about watching things, okay? So, binge watching. I had this idea that whenever I'm watching something, or like I'm turning my brain off, whether it be for casual or binge watching, that it's self-care. Now, I have been proven to be wrong. Okay? In doing some research on this, I have found out that binge watching will actually destroy your life. That's a strong statement to make, but hear me out, all right? Okay, so during the lockdown, you got me into the office, and I will forever blame you, because Michael Scott is now one of my nightmares, like having to deal with him.
Oh, Michael Scott.
I got through 5 seasons of The Office, 5. In like 2 weeks. Okay. Now you might be like, oh, during lockdown, you have a lot of time. I'm also a uni student. So I had lectures, I had assignments on top of that. And binge watching that whole show, okay. Well, I didn't really finish the whole show because I refused to watch any of the remaining episodes where Michael Scott is not there. But really, I don't think it was healthy. Because one, it's kind of like a drug, right? Where you get addicted. Like you get dopamine out of engaging in that activity. So it was like watching episodes back to back. I was almost kind of like addicted. No, not to the sense that I was sporadic and kind of like irritable, but it's like, oh, I watched an episode. Oh, I can watch another episode. Oh, I want to watch another episode. And it was harder to quit from that pattern. Do you think that's valid? Or is this just me overthinking?
Yeah, I think binge watching is a real thing for sure. I mean, we've all binge watched something or the other in our lives. Yeah, I was really surprised by how you finished watching, well, 5 seasons of The Office in 2 weeks. And I started watching The Office before I convinced you to start watching it. And I'm still on like season 6 now.
Oh my
God. And it's been, so I'm really slow. I watch like maybe an episode or two each day and then I forget about it the next day. So yeah, I'm really slow about it.
That's a healthy way of doing it because, you know, when TV shows used to come out weekly, that was the healthy way of consumption.
Yeah.
Right? And now it's like all available to us and we're like, oh, I can finish this. Like I remember, okay, mid last year, after semester 1, I finally checked out Game of Thrones. And prior to that, I wasn't like at all on board. Like I had a group of friends who were always talking about Game of Thrones and had all the inside references and inside jokes, and I never got into it. And then finally I gave in. I was like, okay, let me see how it goes. Okay. Mid-semester break was 3 weeks. Each Game of Thrones episode was at least an hour long.
Yep.
There were 8 seasons. 8. Okay. And during this mid-semester break, at the same time, I was working. I had youth ministry going on. Okay. And I was probably watching some other show at the same time. But I killed it. I watched all 8 seasons. And none of you like would have noticed that I was kind of like, you know, I was sleep deprived, that I was kind of like mid-collapsing or whatever. But 8 seasons of Game of Thrones was completed in 3 weeks. In less than
2 weeks.
It's crazy, right? I mean, I kind of regret that. And like, I would want to tell my younger self now, like, why? Like, are you trying to kill yourself? But yeah, I was reading a research paper from Switzerland that was conducted earlier this year. They had over 17,000 participants who found binge watching as like an excessive or problematic behavior. Because it included like a range of risk factors, apparently, such as diverse mental health conditions and dysfunctional use of technologies. That all sounds really fancy, but when you think about it, okay, like kind of like your senses are muted. So for example, if I spent my whole day watching a specific show, at the end of the day, I'll have a blurry eyesight.
Yeah.
Right. And also, I've never really experienced it, but being irritable afterwards. That's apparently one of them. Have you ever experienced that?
Being irritable. Interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but I guess that must be due to the lack of just getting up, human interaction, lack of sleep, I assume.
Yeah, it's because probably like you wouldn't have as much rest as you normally have.
Yeah, or you should be having, yeah.
Yeah. But also maybe because like you might get stuck in that fantasy. Like you almost feel like you're working with Michael Scott and then all of a sudden you're with your family and it's like, oh, It's pretty funny, and now it's real life.
I think it also depends on like the show you're watching, like how intense the show is that you're binge watching, mm-hmm. and what the content is about that would make you more irritable. Like, I know maybe if it's The Office, which is a pretty light show, possibly the effects might not be that much. Like, yeah, you might have dark circles, you know, these.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I guess it would be a lot more positive, kind of like after watching an episode of The Office, because it's hilarious. Whereas if you watch something like Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel more exhausted, actually, now thinking about it, like after watching things like that. I'll be physically exhausted. You learn something new every day.
You do. You do.
So that's one of the things. So yeah, I'm going to stand with the statement that I made that binge watching is actually not something that you should do as part of your self-care routine.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's, you know, you realize there's so much more to binge watching, in the sense that wouldn't you rather use that time to spend with family and to spend with real life people than actually watching people on a TV show that's not even real?
Hmm. Yeah, for sure. I thought for a second you were going to say, wouldn't you rather spend that time working or getting all your tasks done for the day?
I mean,
so you learn nothing.
Let's not talk about that.
Gosh. Yeah.
And it is. And, you know, it's one of those, you can't really tell people to not binge watch, because that's just the culture that we are in and we are brought up in. But I guess it's those questions, right? What is the content am I watching? Is it bringing me peace, joy, hope, you know, those good emotions? Or is it just making me feel really negative? And some shows are out there do make you feel negative. So maybe those are the shows that you actually need to put a cap on and really think about if you should be binge watching them or if you should not.
Mm-hmm.
But even the light shows, you know, rather spend time, having face-to-face relationships than face-to-TV relationships.
Yeah, it's like, is it really bringing any benefit to your life?
Yeah.
And saying that, what's on this? Because aren't there some shows sometimes that you might want to watch just for the sake of checking it out because it seems fascinating? Like, okay, 13 Reasons Why season 4 last night.
Just thinking about it.
It was blowing up on Twitter, and I was like, oh no, here we go. I really didn't want to get into it. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm planning to. I put it on my list. And, you know, it's one of those things like, you're not entirely invested in what's happening in the show or even what the show stands for. But rather, you kind of just want to watch it for being a part of the conversation and also because you're interested. Or is that just me, like, being foolish? Because I guess that sounds like I'm invested in it now.
Yeah, not really. Because isn't that how you'd expect shows to get their viewers? So to you know, make sure, like, it's the trending topic, like, just completely from a business side of a show or from a marketing side of a show. That's how you'll get more people talking about it and more people viewing it, is that once this group of people start talking about it, others have, well, FOMO, and then they just want to watch it just because everyone else is watching it. And I think that's how 13 Reasons Why made its whatever it is now, you know, that's why so many people watch it. Game of Thrones, similar reasons.
Game of Thrones took me a while, though. It took me a while. I was like,
watch it.
No. To get into it, well, clearly not for 3 weeks. No, it took me at least, I'd say, 6 months to like a whole year. Because, like, yeah, I have a certain group of friends who were such avid fans of the show. And, yeah, I was just not on board. And then I thought, hey, if you can't beat him, join him. And, like, the season had just finished then. So I checked out the first episode, and next minute, I completed the whole thing.
Mm.
I wouldn't say I'm an avid fan. I think, yeah, it was just the curiosity that finally got me to watch it. And I would say the same thing now with 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I started watching 13 Reasons Why purely because of curiosity and because a lot of youth ministers were talking about the show and the effects of the show. I wanted to watch it just so I could stay in conversation with young people who are watching the show.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's good to know what they're watching as well. So when that topic comes up, you know, like, okay, I know which characters they're talking about. I know what topic they're talking about. And with such a serious topic like that, you can then refer them to whoever needs to be referred to.
Yeah, and I think it's also bringing light into these shows sometimes. Like, I did start watching Game of Thrones for a couple of seasons, and for me, the show really affected me negatively. So I think whenever, you know, people were having conversations about the show, I don't know, it feels weird to say I brought like a Christian perspective or some light onto the show, but it was good that I kind of knew what the backstory is. So I could still have a Catholic stand or a Christian stand on where I stand with these type of shows. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And then you, at the same time, you'll also be notified of things that you might not be knowledgeable about. So it gives you a chance to go and seek out information regarding that, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know definitely for me, like, I think when I checked out the first season, I was like, ooh, what's the Catholic teaching on this? Like, I need to go and find out. Which has been really helpful. Because I can recall a couple conversational like moments with some of our teens from the parish who have asked me about that. Not necessarily about like suffering through it. Like, they weren't directly struggling with you know, suicidal thoughts or anything, but
yeah,
just being curious about it as well, you know, for some teens, they kind of just want to know.
Yeah. Like,
for the sake of like, okay, what is that about? But also it's good for them, like, if they're encountering something like that with their friends, because we're not going to be always with them. But yeah. Oh wait, no, actually, do you have any last thoughts on that?
Not really, other than, yeah, think about, if you're binge watching, think about things you're watching, think about why you're watching, and think about how it's going to be affecting you and those around you.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any self-care tips for our listeners?
Ooh.
Practical ones.
I mean, look who's preaching right about it. Practical tips. Ooh, find what you love doing that you haven't been able to do and try to make time for it, even if it's 10 minutes in a day, 15 minutes in a day. Start small. Find someone to keep you accountable, because I think that's really important. And yeah, I think if you're really struggling, don't hesitate to talk to someone about it. Because we are just so brought up with that mentality that even if you are struggling, no, I can handle the situation. And I don't want to let people know that I'm burning out. Even though you start to feel that you're burning out and you're running out of enthusiasm, energy.
Mm-hmm.
So inviting someone to help you through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Keeping you accountable.
Yeah, keeping you accountable. What are your last minute tips?
Last minute?
Yes.
My last minute is if you
last minute tips.
If you just figured out that you don't practice self-care and it's the end of the world, here are your last minute.
Yeah.
One.
That's it. You have 1 minute to prepare.
You have literally less than that, actually. So one, what you're gonna do, this is okay, everyone who's listening, listen carefully. This is what you're gonna do. You grab the nearest rosary and you pray a decade.
Amen.
A whole decade. There's no skipping. Okay. Actually, do the whole thing if you want. Next thing, you message your closest friend and you tell them how disappointed you are that they didn't call you out. So completely blame them. Yeah, that's what we do. We're mature. And then the second thing, you're going to go to your fridge, go to your freezer, you grab that tub of ice cream, you open it, you crack it open, grab a spoonful, you eat it, and you cry. And then you go to bed, you wake up the next day, you'll feel a lot better. Trust me on that. This is not something that I've done, don't worry.
Okay, woo. I was just like, oh my gosh, don't say that to me.
Oh, did I forget to tell you that you also cry yourself to sleep? Yeah, and then you'll wake up, you'll feel a lot better.
I don't know about feeling a lot better about that, but that's a whole other conversation. Actually, you do. Yeah. Sometimes we all need a good cry to let it out. So, yeah.
But where is the best place to cry?
In your car.
Oh.
No?
Is this like the episode of Glee where Emma Pillsbury is in her car and crying to All By Myself by Celine Dion?
Yeah, kind of. Except sometimes there's no music. Sometimes there's worship music and you're just like, I can't do this anymore.
You're like, yeah. Why am I doing this?
Yeah, and then you're like, when you reach home, you're like, oh my gosh, please don't look like as if I was crying. Just try to not make your eyes look as red. Yeah. It's too real. It's just got deep all of a sudden.
Okay, let's see what's trending right now on Twitter.
I don't even see the topics.
What? Why are you whispering? Is this an ASMR?
No, I'm just trying to see how to see trending topics on Twitter.
Is this Lady Gaga who's trending? It says Lady G.
Moments, nope.
What about Catholic Twitter? What's been the conversation? Let's see. There's a picture that Father Paul Hedman posted. He the caption is deacons standing next to the priest during the Eucharistic prayer, and it's a guy who's grilling something on the barbecue and a dog kind of just looking at the food. hungrily.
Whose Twitter is that?
Father Paul Hedman. You should follow him. He's really cool.
Okay. I spelled it right. Oh, yeah.
Wait, why am I not following him anymore?
Sorry, I just saw that.
I used to follow him, and then I just found out now that I'm not following him. Anyways, now I'm following him.
Yeah. Sometimes social media kind of kicks people off pages and things like that.
Sharky's on Twitter now as well. You can follow him.
What?
Okay. Yeah. At Mally Sharky. Malie Sharky. I think that's a great way to end the episode. And it's been a real pleasure talking about certain things. Certain serious topics ongoing right now. If you are curious about any of the things we've talked about, I will put all the links on the description. Plugs. Follow me on Spotify now at Mind the Sapling. Also, as of yesterday, I am now on Apple Podcasts at Mind the Sapling. Again, that's both Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can also go and flick me a message on anchor.fm/mindthesapling. Any from you, Roshe? Plug. Other than the usual, of course.
Yeah, other than the usual, you can catch up with me on Instagram at Dias Rochelle and on Twitter at Rosh_TheHobbit. Yeah, let's talk.
Yeah.
About anything. I love talking to you.
Good on you. And again, please do pray for what's happening right now. And if you feel pressured about being in the conversation, again, feel free to just step back, gather your thoughts, check out all the links that I've attached in the description. And then once you're ready, go voice out your opinion. More power to you.
Amen. Think before you post.
I like that. That might be the title of this podcast then.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, or think before you tweet. Ooh, either or.
Ooh, okay. I'll probably get some heat from that. Anyways, thanks for listening. God bless.
Bye.